Welcome to the Simply His Coffee Shop, everyone. We are so happy to be back with you all today. Our guest is an incredible friend of ours, and 25 years ago, she was given 1 year to live. So she and her husband are here to tell us about their miraculous healing journey and how God worked in miraculous ways to give her a healing. Please help me welcome Charisse and Toby Parton. Yeah. Toby and Charisse were actually also one of the first couples that we met when we moved here, and they've become super dear friends. We attended the church that they were actually attending, and Joe and I helped out a little with your youth group because you guys were the youth pastors there. But I know we have a lot to get into with your healing story, so let's go ahead and get right in. So how did your health issues first start?
It was kind of just, I was fine, then I wasn't fine.
Okay.
If that makes, sense. And Toby and I had kind of come to a place where, he and I were both raised in church. And so we had come together and decided one night, I remember we were laying on the living room floor in front of the fireplace. And we were talking about how we were raised and how our kids, we have three kids, and how we were not raising them in that manner. And we're like, okay, this is the only thing that has helped us and sustained us. We need to get our kids. We need to change some things.
And that was like back in 96, 97 when you had that conversation?
Exactly.
And then that was right before everything started happening.
Yeah. So we started going to different churches, in the area. Mm-hmm. And we're like, hey, let's go to this one little church. I see a lot of cars there. Let's try that one. So the Sunday that we found what would have been our home church where we started doing ministry for about 10 years in that location, that Sunday is when it happened.
Okay.
Yeah, we'd come home from church. It was actually September 7th of 1997 on a Sunday afternoon at 5 o'clock in the evening.
Wow.
I was raised an outdoorsman and a hunter. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to kind of share that with Charisse. Mm-hmm. I don't think you had shot guns too much at that time. We were in our early 20s at the time. So I had some targets set up and a .22 rifle on a picnic table, and I was letting her shoot.
Right.
Kind of plinking the targets, and I had walked out to set the targets back up. And when I came back to the picnic table, she had her head laying down on the table.
Oh, wow.
It was a hot day. It was really super hot day, muggy, and I thought she was resting.
Mm-hmm.
In hindsight, kind of in actuality, she had actually blacked out, and I didn't know what was going on. I spoke to her. She didn't respond, and I'm like, Charisse, are you okay? And she was completely blacked out. I carried her into the house in a panic and took a wet washcloth and just began to kind of wash her face and praying for her, and she kind of came to.
Mm-hmm.
But then she passed out again, and I couldn't get a pulse. I was trying frantically to figure out what's going on. I was feeling for a pulse, very weak, very light pulse. I just immediately threw in her car, and we rushed to the ER at Cox South in Springfield, Missouri.
So you didn't call 911?
No, I didn't.
I don't know that we had 911 then.
And we live so far out in the country, it's hard.
Yeah,
by the time an ambulance probably would have responded, I could have already had
her
almost there. So
yes.
We just
jumped in the car and ran
emergency room very quickly. Yeah.
And then what did they tell you? Did they know what was going on?
That part I can't.
She was kind of out of it a little bit, but they put on a 24-hour halter monitor, started running a lot of tests, cardiovascular tests, trying to figure things out. And long story short, her heart rhythm was messed up.
Okay.
Like up to about 170, 180 beats per minute, but then it would just stop and drop to about 4 or 5 beats per minute,
wow,
which they considered
cardiac arrest.
Wow.
Yeah.
And when her heart would correct like that and drop, that's when she would black out.
Blood pressure, all
course,
those things.
That bottoms everything.
So
everything.
On Wednesday, they admitted her for surgery. Dr. Windsor was your first cardiologist.
Remember.
I believe his name was Dr. Windsor back then. This has been 25 years ago.
Right.
It's been a minute.
But as Dr. Windsor was her first cardiologist, and the diagnosis, I think the initial diagnosis was sick sinus syndrome.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then they scheduled her for a pacemaker. They said there's no cure. There's nothing they can do, but they can try to put a pacemaker in to catch the heart when it drops and stop it from going
to bottom out.
Or they said it didn't have to keep beating at even 4 or 5 beats per minute. It could stop at any time.
So they
had to put a pacemaker in to catch the heart and keep it going at 30 plus beats per minute to protect her from dying.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
and
this
you
was
were young.
Yeah, with three kids. Brand new house.
And no former symptoms of any kind.
I had just, you know, little, nothing like this. Nothing like this at all. I mean, I was really, you know, in high school, ran track every year, volleyball,
so this was just
really
totally
athletic.
Changed your
we
day.
Would go play tennis. Yeah, completely.
Overnight.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was pretty
scary.
Crazy. It was
pretty
very scary.
It was scary. And what was odd was it was the same Sunday we'd rededicated our life to Christ and
exactly.
started going to church again and getting where we needed to be spiritually. And then it was like this attack happened.
So did that affect your faith at all? Since you guys
not initially.
Okay.
Not initially.
It checks your faith for certain. Because then you question, does what we believe in work?
Right.
When you really need it the most. Because the doctors were saying we've done all we can do.
Right.
The first episode happened on Sunday. The diagnosis came on Wednesday.
Okay.
The surgery for the pacemaker came on Friday.
Wow.
It was quick.
With all the medications and things. And then they released her on Sunday to come home. And in the middle of that, they're telling us, we hope this will work. This is our only option.
Oh, wow.
So they didn't
Is no cure. And then right before the surgery, what gave us a panic attack was a nurse came in, and she called us out of her room before you went back to surgery. She called her mother and I out into the hall and said, I feel like I really need to help you understand that her life is in jeopardy.
The seriousness of this.
Some people live with this. Some people die from this. And her exact words were, I encourage you to spend all the time you can with her because we don't know how much time she has.
Wow.
She didn't put a year on it. She didn't put 24 hours on it.
Yeah.
She just said, we don't know. We don't know how much time she has. So it shook us. It rattled us. And one of the hardest things to do was to walk back in that room and not let that show.
Wow.
Right.
So we had to come in with a smile on our face and encourage her because she's fixing to go into heart surgery.
And you want her to have as much of a positivity and peace as
calm.
She can.
Mm-hmm.
So we begin to hang on to scriptures like she will live and not die.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Some of those promises. We had to understand the medical world's side.
Yes.
Right.
From a human perspective, but we also had to embrace God's promises and God's truth, you know.
Yeah.
And completely. It really tests you right there, which we'll get into more of that later. But we were hoping that this would fix it. Long story short, they release her from the hospital on Sunday afternoon. Her first request was, I want to go to church.
Okay.
I want to go back to church, which was on a Sunday. So I said, are you sure you want to go to church today? I mean, we're just getting out of heart surgery. We're just getting out of the hospital. She said, I want to go to church. I want to go to church. She's still in her nightgown. So she goes home. We take her home. She gets cleaned up, dressed up, and we kind of help her limp into
church.
The Sunday evening service where a pastor named Ronnie Webb, Bishop Ronnie Webb, was a guest speaker at a revival service at Glean Assembly of God. And it's a pretty powerful service, to say the least.
Yeah.
I don't know how deep you want to get into all that, but in the middle of the service, you know, as we've spent the prior week in constant prayer, all the friends, all the family that was circled around us, all of our church family was praying desperately for Charisse's condition for the week prior to this church service. We walk into that church service. We had never seen Ronnie Webb. Had no idea who he was.
No clue.
But we're having a wonderful church service. We sat on the back row, not wanting to disturb the service, because we may have to leave if she starts feeling bad.
Right.
If anything's going on, we're at the very back of the
row. And
it
was packed. I don't know that we've ever had that many people in that
building.
It's
standing room only.
It was crazy.
It's packed.
Yeah.
So we think, wow, this may be pretty good, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Great music, great worship. And then when Ronnie begins his message, he stops. And he says, wait a minute, I've got a message for someone back there on the back row. And we're wondering who he's talking about. I mean, there's
you're
people
looking
standing
around.
Yeah, and I'm this little Baptist girl, married a Pentecostal. And so I'm like, what do you mean, the back row?
And he starts weeding. We're shrinking in the seat, hoping he's not talking to us. But he starts weeding through the people, and he actually pins us down and kind of calls us out. He said, I would like for you two to step out into the aisle. He came over, and he said, of course, the pacemaker is on your left side. Mm-hmm. He didn't know that. Under the clothing, she's got this fresh scar, mm-hmm. with all the stitches and the tape and all that. He doesn't know that. But he says, I see something right here. Has something happened? And, of course, she said, yeah, I just had a pacemaker put in and heart surgery.
Oh,
and he
said,
well, the Lord's telling me.
Wow.
He said, son, God's heard your prayers, was his exact words. And he said, he is going to heal her heart, just out of the blue.
Nobody knew.
You could have heard a pin drop in that church. I mean, it was a hush just came over the crowd. The presence of God just settled into the room, and we just began to weep.
Yeah.
I mean, it's everything that we needed to hear in that moment.
Right.
When you are stretched, your faith is like stretched, and you've got a death sentence handed to you, and we needed to hear something.
Right.
And Ronnie Webb was just obeying the Spirit of God, and he said, God's going to heal your heart.
Well, and speaking of Ronnie Webb, though, ironically, we had known some of your story, but mm-hmm. we didn't know all of it. And then Ronnie Webb was actually part of a couple of our virtual conferences, and you were like, hey, by the way, he's the guy.
Yeah.
He's the guy.
Well, I can't remember which conference DVD. I was in Joe's office, and we were going over, like, some aesthetics of the box or whatever, and I'm like, wait a minute, that's Ronnie. That's the guy that prophesied. And it was like,
how interesting is that?
Oh, it was full circle. It was full circle. It was very cool.
We just wept and shook and cried.
So was this then instant, or did it take time? Or
that's the hardest thing. Growing up with a background of believing in God's miracles, I'd seen God heal my dad. He had actually gotten shot.
Oh, wow.
Long story, but God had healed him when the doctors couldn't. So I had this faith, knowing God can heal.
Yeah.
I was raised in a very God-loving, God-fearing family that prayed and believed for miracles and healings. And I seen how God had done that for members of our family over my entire childhood growing up. So I knew God could heal. And I thought, okay, that means now.
Right.
That means instant.
Yeah.
Instant.
Microwave.
God just healed her heart. And then we find out in the days and weeks following, she continues to black out.
Gets worse.
She continues.
It got worse.
The pacemaker's not working quite right or quite well enough.
Did it help at all?
I can't tell you that. I don't know that it did or it didn't. I got to the point. It was kind of shocking me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Man.
On the inside?
And you can't do anything about it because there it is inside you.
Yeah, and it's not like, you know, you're moving your arm like this or like it just would just do it.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if it's because it's correcting something or if I'm doing something or, you know, all those thoughts come through your head.
It's scary.
Yeah, it was. And I just kept getting worse and worse and worse. And I had to print this just because of going back over the notes. I have to read it because I can't remember what all they diagnosed. All in all, they said profound bradycardia, sinus arrest, rare premature atrial contractions, and premature ventricle contractions, sick sinus syndrome, neurocardioreflexive syncope, and then later they diagnosed me with tachycardia and something that's called Shy-Dragger syndrome, which causes autonomic nervous system failure, complete failure. And people don't get that diagnosis of just that by itself and live.
Wow.
You know, my blood pressure is still going crazy. My heart rate still, it would go up to 180. What the pacemaker was set to do is not pull my heart rate down, but to keep it from bottoming out. But my heart rate would still race, and then you can't breathe.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can't walk. I can't fold laundry. I could not carry a laundry basket across the living room. And we've got three kids. And we've got a new house.
And
I can't work.
And was one of them a baby?
Yeah, Allie was little. Allie was little.
We have to take a really quick break. We'll be right back on the other side of this break.
The Bible makes it very clear in James and Matthew that God wants us to care for the least of these, the orphans, the neglected children who have, for any number of reasons, found themselves alone without the family they were born into. God says that by taking care of these children, whom He holds so dear, we're actually caring for God Himself. The sad truth is that in many cases, the loss is only part of the problem. They've had to live through unspeakable trauma, neglect, abuse, and abandonment, situations most of us could not even fathom. Every year, Skywatch TV, Simply His Coffee Shop, and Defender Publishing partner with you, our viewers, to help support and work alongside ministries like ForTheChildren.org, Royal Family Kids Camps, and TeenReach.org to make a real difference in the lives of these children through the work done at Whispering Ponies Ranch, underwritten by the nonprofit Skywatch TV Ministry. This year, for your donation of $35 plus shipping and handling, you can take part in the Whispering Ponies Ranch special offer. Included in this amazing offer is a copy of Nita Horn, the founder of Whispering Ponies Ranch, book No Fences, It Started with a Plastic Pony. This sometimes heartbreaking, exquisitely told, and often hilarious memoir is the inspiring true story of a poor little girl's dream of horses and where that love would eventually lead. Nita Horn's journey through triumph, loss, survival, sacrifice, devotion, acceptance, forgiveness, and finally, success in Christ will stir your heart and offer you hope in the many seasons of life we all stand to face. But that's not all. You'll also receive the copy of the emotional DVD, Camp, which was inspired by the real-life testimonies and stories of the campers who have been through the Royal Family Kids Camps over the years. You'll learn about these unique and special summer camps designed to help draw children out of their dark pasts and into a bright future. Camp will inspire you and others to find hope in the midst of the most difficult circumstances that life can offer. And as a special bonus, you'll receive your very own Whispering Ponies Ranch keychain and mug. This is our way of saying thank you for partnering with us to do all that we can to help the least of these. Get your copy of the Whispering Ponies Ranch special offer for your donation of only $35 plus shipping and handling and or join us as a pony or VIP sponsor. Available now through Skywatch TV and the Simply His Coffee Shop at skywatchtvstore.com. Order now or call 1-844-750-4985.
Laundry. I could not carry a laundry basket across the living room, and we've got three kids.
You got,
and we've got a new house,
and
I can't work.
Was one of them a baby?
Yeah, Allie was little. Allie was
little.
Yeah,
tiny.
She was a year.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was difficult. It was difficult, and we got to the point that my care had transitioned to Dr. Kesag Barron, cardiologist in Springfield, and it got to the point that they had put me on medication that I could not even. I still have the bottle. These were $6 a pill back then, and I had to take how many of these a day?
I thought there was like three, maybe.
Three or four a day, and then I didn't have any insurance at the time, and I couldn't get insurance. I tried to get state help, and the state said, well, if you can go get pregnant in the next 30 days, we can cover you. And I'm like,
yeah, because you need to
understand
your
that
health can't
pregnant
even handle
while you're
your body right now,
exactly.
Let alone sustaining another
exactly
life.
Yeah. Wow. So Dr. Barron wanted to basically shut my heart completely off and make the pacemaker do everything.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my goodness.
And then I was like, I don't like this. I don't like this. So I come home. He had been at work, and I was talking to him about it, and I just didn't want to do that.
I don't think I did either. That's pretty scary.
Yeah. But were you still kind of holding on then, too?
Holding on to those promises, but at the same time, you're also questioning everything because you're thinking, I thought you said you were going to
heal her. And it still
and
wasn't
happening
yet. She can't
fold a load of laundry. She is sick every day. And this week's kind of drag into months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's getting worse and worse and worse. And of course, I'm holding a full-time job during the day and
right. Yeah.
Trying to help with the kiddos and
yeah.
housework and those months take a toll on you. Just a slow grind that grinds you mm-hmm. to the very lowest point you've ever been in your life.
Right.
And there's a point I kind of got angry about January. I think this happened 4 or 5 months later after the prophesied healing. And I'm like, Lord. And I'm just having it out on a hillside at work, actually, out there in the brush.
Yeah.
And I just have a meltdown, a breakdown, because my wife looks like she's still dying to me.
Right.
And I said, God, what's going on? You know, and mm-hmm. I was angry. I'm sure I was upset. And you know, having a temper tantrum. But I just kind of had it out with God, and I said, what's going on, God? I need a real God with real answers in the middle of some very real problems.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to hear it from another preacher. Mm-hmm. I think I even said, and I'm sorry, Mr. Ronnie Webb, I think I said, Ronnie missed it. She is not healed. She's still sick. And my biggest question was, God, you've got the power. I knew God is still real. I knew he could heal. And I was upset why he was withholding a healing.
Right, yeah.
I never questioned his ability or his existence.
Right.
Because I'm arguing with him. He's
of course.
Real. I'm having a real argument heart to heart. And I said, God, how you have the power in your pinky.
Right.
He'll heal her instantly.
Right.
Why are you waiting?
Or what are you waiting for?
What are you waiting for?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Why would you withhold that?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, she's suffering. And I know millions of people that are in that same situation.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And we don't understand that.
Right.
The suffering part. We don't understand the timing of God's promises and God's healing and his schedule of events.
Yeah.
Looking back, sometimes we can make better sense of it than when you're in the storm.
Yeah, of course.
In the moment. And the human weaknesses that we're battling every day. And I just had a meltdown. And, you know, I just said, God, I'm done. If it's not real, if it's not working, I don't want to do it anymore. As far as my religion or my attending church services or going through the motions, if it's not real, if it's kind of a fake thing, it's not working, I'm out. I don't want to do it anymore. And I was just there at that breaking point. And I'd made up my mind when I come home from work that day that I'm not going back to church.
Okay. Because you just don't want to have anything to do with it.
This ain't working.
Right.
My wife is dying.
Yeah.
I mean, you're in the battle of your life. You're struggling between life and death. And it's a real battle.
Mm-hmm.
And you're trying to sort through that. And we're so young.
Yeah.
We're in our early 20s. Even though you're raised in church or maybe raised in a Christian home, doesn't mean that you really know the word or that you really know God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's some roots that has to be developed. And we prayed more and studied the Bible more frantically in this 11-month period that we're describing portions of, more than we had in all of our 20-some earlier years combined. You know,
so and that's it what was it, 11 months since the diagnosis, and you're fighting with God now, saying why?
We were 4 months into this, 11-month period. We were about 4 or 5 months in, and it was a breaking point for me. It was about January of that, which would have been 98.
Okay.
And that's when I came, and I just said, you know what? It's not working, God. And I kind of chewed God out in my stupid way. And, you know, I said, it's not working. I'm done. Done. And another miracle happened. There was a knock come to the door that day.
The same day?
The same day. As I'm home from work, and I'm mad. I'm still upset. I'm still in that mental state of just angry. And I remember I was actually sitting at the kitchen table. Charisse was in the back bedroom. I'm playing solitaire, looking down at the table, and I'm like throwing these cards down. And a knock comes at the door. And it's the last time I want company. I don't want to see anybody.
Right.
I don't want to talk to anybody. I'm having my little pity party.
Right.
I don't want anybody messing up my little pity party.
Exactly.
Having my fit. And Sheree says, there's someone at the door. And I said, I don't care.
Exactly.
They knock again. She said, are you going to get the door? And I said, no, I'm not getting the door. And I keep slamming cards down on the table. So she limps from the back room and opens
to
the door.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, it's our pastor at the time. And it's one of our best friends that we were attending church with. And I wouldn't even look at him. I was so upset. I didn't want to see him. I'd already made my mind up. It's not working. I'm done. I'm not going back. No matter what they say, I'm not going back. Going through.
Yeah.
Right? And they said, we just felt like we needed to come and visit you today. The Lord laid you on our heart today.
Mm. Wow.
You know what? They'd never been to our house before.
Oh, I love it.
And I don't think the two had ever been to our house since. This was one of those God moments.
Yeah, where they knew they needed
An
to come.
Appointed
and
moment.
God sent them.
What happened was God's always doing more.
Yes.
Than what we understand.
Oh, I love
or what
that.
We're even looking yeah. for
or
what
we
we're even
see.
Praying about.
Mm-hmm.
He's always so much farther ahead of us. I'm so focused on getting my wife healthy. I'm fighting that battle for her and for us. We're one, you know.
Yeah.
I'm fighting for that I'm not even considering my own condition, and God is. So in the middle of her getting a new heart, God was dealing with my heart.
Oh, my goodness.
And spiritually getting me fixed up.
Where you needed to be.
Dealing with me. So when the guys came in and they felt like the Lord had sent them to check on us, they were actually coming to pray for me, and not my wife.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Because of this battle that I'd been kind of struggling with, wondering, where is this healing, Lord?
Yeah.
You promised, God, that you were going to heal her. And we're months into her still getting sick every day.
And just getting worse. Just getting worse and worse diagnoses.
They come and start dealing with me, and I've made my mind up. I'm done with church. I'm done because I need something that works, and it's not working. And then before they left, of course, they talked to me. My heart is softened. They pray with us. My heart's softened a little bit more. We just have a great visit. And when they leave, my heart's turned back to, I'm going back to church. And in my own mind, I have this resolve, I settle this argument with God, you're the only hope we have.
Yeah.
I cannot turn away from you. You're the only hope we have. Job 13:15, if I remember the verse right, says Job was dealing with a lot of things, a lot more than we were. But he come to a conclusion that says, though you slay me, Lord, yet will I trust you.
Yes.
And that's kind of where I had to get to. Yeah. We had to surrender the whole process to the Lord and say, even if it kills us, God, we're going to trust you. We're going to believe in you.
Yeah.
You're the only hope we have. So we had to come there.
Right.
So then I resolved that whole internal conflict, and I'm saddling back up, getting back in the fight, going back to church, sticking with it.
Because God saw your need.
And seeing it through, whatever that
looks
like.
So not only did he see that she needed a healing, but he knew that, okay, Toby's at his last one, and he needs some encouragement to keep this going.
That's right.
Such an amazing story. And we are basically out of time, too, and I kind of want to tease this because I know, right?
I want to hear the rest of the story.
But it does even get better. Show them the pacemaker.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. She actually ended up getting her pacemaker taken out, which never, ever, ever, ever happens.
Yeah, they don't
happens.
Do that.
They don't do that. Once it goes in, it never comes back out. So next week, we'll get more into how they actually took the pacemaker out and how the healing started happening even more so. You're not going to want to miss next week. Thank you so much for joining us in the Simply His Coffee Shop. Yeah.